Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from the Advocate covering Yellow Shoe Fighting Tigers, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, I knew what the front story was going to be today. Bo Davis leaving Texas to come to LSU, and then bang, right at 4 o'clock, Nick Saban decides to retire from University of Alabama. But before we get with Nick, that was a big catch to get Bo Davis. I know a little bit about the inner workings with that. He was Brian Kelly's number one guy. It's been a little while. They've had some conversation. And I think Bo was sort of torn a little bit about if he should go and if he shouldn't or not. But, you know, he does have a son that's at Southeastern Louisiana. He's
coached at
LSU. I
think that was a big part of it.
And to get Bo, who is an elite technician coach and also a tremendous recruiter, that was a big, big catch for Brian Kelly.
This is absolutely a critical hire, and one of the most critical hires that Kelly was going to have to make this offseason on the defensive line with what LSU is dealing with right now there in terms of who's coming back next season after Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo declares, and the lack of roster numbers purely and also experience and depth. LSU really needed to nail this one. And they went out and got one of the most respected defensive line coaches in the country in Bo Davis, somebody who spent a lot of time with Nick Saban's staff. Saban, of course, retiring today. And then, you know, he's also built up that Texas line over the last few years into one of the best units in the country, is what Tavondre Sweat and Murphy were like this year over there. That was one of the reasons they made the college football playoff for the first time. And, you know, he's a guy who obviously is an LSU grad, has spent time at LSU before, and now LSU is getting him back to be the defensive line coach. And, you know, this is something that they've been working on for a while, trying to get it done. It seemed like maybe this had cooled off a little bit here recently, but LSU was able to end up landing him. You know, it's never over till it's over in coaching, and they end up hiring their guy to really try to solidify a position that has gone through quite a bit of turnover, really over the last decade, but in particular over the last few years. LSU has not had any sort of stability at defensive line in terms of who's coaching, and now with Bo Davis, maybe it finally will have some.
And listen, Wilson, I meant to give you credit. You were the one who broke that story initially, so congratulations on that, Bob.
Well, Wilson hustles. Wilson's a hustler.
Wilson's a hustler, man.
I like that. Now, Wilson.
In good terms. We don't want that to come out bad, Wilson.
Right. No, he works at a high level with his craft, his ability. But, Wilson, you can be a great coach. You still got to get players. Now it's a good time. Transfer portal. You look at who's coaching you and all that. LSU should be able to entice a couple of guys to transfer now, right?
Especially defensive line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying on the defensive line, because we need that. Because, come on, we all want the defense at least to be middle of the pack, but it all starts up front. So what's your take on that, Wilson, about will we be able to convince, you know, you got JUCO guys, this and that, but you never have enough, and who you put in the rotation. They don't want to be in a bind like when Mason Smith got hurt against Florida State. Well, we had three guys in a rotation. No, that's not a winning formula. So what do you think we're going to do? You think that's something that we're going to get it done by the time when it counts, that you're going to have enough D-line in the rotation and obviously have the players who can get it done? So it seems like transfer portal. Boy, what better team than the LSU Fighting Tigers if you're a stud D-lineman to be able to get exposure and contribute at a high level?
When Brian Kelly was asked about defensive tackle on the first day of the early signing period, why LSU hadn't really gone after a transfer very heavily, he was said that it was for two reasons. One, they liked what they had in Shone Washington, the JUCO transfer. And two, they felt good about retention. The retention piece of that has not panned out at all. Mekhi Wingo and Mason Smith both declaring for the draft. LSU now only has five defensive tackles on the roster right now going into next season. Jacoby and Guillory, assuming he comes back, Jalen Lee, Dominic McKinley, Shone Washington, and Demirion Johnson. That is two players who returned but did not have big roles last season. Jacobian Guillory had 27 tackles. He was not a starter. And then, you know, Shone Washington is going to have to make that step up from junior college, and two freshmen who are ready to play as freshmen. It's hard to be able to rely on that. So LSU, you know, absolutely is going to have to change its approach here and probably go into the portal, unless it was somehow able, you know, to get Mason Smith to change his mind or something like that. Because obviously he made his decision before LSU had landed Bo Davis. Then, you know, even then, you know, you're still looking at a position that is very thin right now, in a position that you would prefer to have some semblance of a rotation, so the guys aren't getting worn out. You know, Mekhi Wingo got absolutely worn out during the 2022 season playing as much as he did, and LSU managed to kind of get by. But by the end of the year, you could tell that up front it was starting to really trail off because they were exhausted by the end of that season because they didn't have any depth behind them. And so this is an absolute need. How LSU is going to do it, we'll have to see. You know, the transfer portal is closed now. Nobody else can re-enter. Obviously, anybody who is currently in the portal, LSU can go after. If you're going to find someone in the SEC, that has to be done by February 1st. Alabama's players now have 30 days to enter the transfer portal window. I don't know if LSU would go after anybody there, but that's just something to keep in mind. And then, of course, the transfer portal will reopen again in the spring. Usually your big crop is kind of at the beginning, you know, kind of this time of year, that first transfer portal window. But LSU is probably going to need to take advantage of that opening up again there after spring ball because it is going to have to get some more players there on the defensive line.
Now, Wilson, what is your take? Because, you know, it does matter how the staff works together. When you look at Blake Baker and Bo now, and obviously you only have one alpha dog who's a defensive coordinator, and there's a lot of experience there. But what's your take on that when you're putting your staff together and still LSU fans are concerned on the back end? Who's going to contribute in the secondary?
Yeah, basically what he's asking, the cornerback safeties coach.
Right.
It's
exactly.
So relevant today because the way the game is played, the pitch and catch part of it.
Right. You know, LSU, I think Corey Raymond is still very much in the mix to come back as most likely the cornerback coach. I think Brian Kelly would probably split that up still as cornerbacks and safeties, but that has not been done yet, obviously. And so we'll see kind of where that ends up. But I think he is certainly someone to be considered for that spot and who has interest in the job as well. So keep an eye on maybe his name for that position. But, you know, we'll kind of see what the other ones end up being. You know, LSU sort of has gone about this, getting the defensive coordinator hire done and in place and getting Bo Davis, who is very high on their list of priorities, done and in place. And now kind of going through the rest of the list because it's, you know, cornerbacks, safeties, and then you've still got a couple things to do on the offensive side of the ball as well with your offensive coordinator. You know, LSU, I think there's a very strong likelihood still that LSU promotes internally for that position, but we'll have to see, and that has to get determined. And then, tight ends coach as well. And so they've got, you know, at least a couple of the most critical decisions made here already with Blake Baker and Bo Davis, and that is certainly a good starting point as they continue to go down the road.
Wilson, I think that we talking about maybe with Joe Sloan being elevated. I think there was maybe some concern that the wide receivers coach, kind of pitch and catch game guy, he might have went to Alabama because that was an opening there at University of Alabama. Not as real opening there, so to speak. But I think Joe Sloan's the guy to take over as the offensive coordinator at LSU.
Yeah, Joe is somebody who checks quite a lot of boxes. You know, he doesn't necessarily have the experience calling plays that Mike Denbrock had when he came over as the offensive coordinator, you know, under, you know, Kelly's first hire that he made. But he's been an offensive coordinator a couple of years at Louisiana Tech, and then he obviously did a pretty good job there in the bowl game. You know, it's not that entire offense is going to be coming back. They're going to have to really figure out a lot at wide receiver. You're going to need Caleb Jackson most likely to step up at running back. But, you know, you got your quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier, and you've got an offensive line that seems to be remaining intact for the most part, going into next season. And with what he did in the bowl game, with what was, you know, available to him at the time, was a pretty strong showing. And it should you would think, with an offseason to really work with Garrett and work with the other weapons that they have, some of those hiccups at the beginning of the game you think would be able to get ironed out to a degree. And so, you know, he's somebody who's also really proven himself already as a recruiter, getting Bryce Underwood over the weekend, and as a talent developer with what Jaden Daniels did from year one to year two at LSU. And so, he's somebody who LSU absolutely wants to keep on staff and I think is under consideration for that role. And maybe LSU ends up in a situation where it, you know, elevates Cortez in some way as well. We'll kind of have to see how it works out because they absolutely want to keep him too, you know, with the way that he has recruited and developed talent at the wide receiver
position. Assistant head coach. Got the title.
Well, I think Frank Wilson's already has that.
Well, okay, well, he can. You can have two of them like that.
Well, it's so Wilson. I don't know. To me, you never want to beat a man to replace the man, whether it's a quarterback or the head coach. I just look at, you know, reflecting back on Marino with the Dolphins and then John Elway, and then finally they had to go old school and get, like, Peyton Manning to come because the young guys weren't working out. But when you look at Alabama now, whoever's replacing Nick Saban, I mean, you look at Kirby Smart. Okay, look at a situation because everyone has a mentor. You look at Kirby Smart, his situation now with Georgia. And then you look at Lane Kiffin. To me, you know who I think would for sure have success at Alabama? Lane Kiffin. I think Kirby Smart might, he might also. But I look at Lane Kiffin and his offensive mind, where he's at. I think that could be the number one guy. Now, Dabo Swinney at Clemson, no, he don't embrace the whole transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. Maybe 5 years ago. But I'm intrigued who's going to replace Nick Saban. Boy, I tell you what, they could be doing a pretty good job, and the fans, the natives, are going to be restless. They're going to be, he's always going to be compared to Saban.
10 wins ain't enough.
Right.
I don't envy whoever ends up being that replacement because, like you said, how do you follow the greatest college football coach in history? Because whatever you do is probably not going to measure up unless you are somehow able to win six national championships in a 17-year span. Right. He was an absolutely phenomenal coach, and it's earth-shattering, shifting day in college football with him retiring. And in terms of who's going to be, candidates, we'll have to see because there's going to be so many names thrown out. If you look at, former Alabama assistants, I think Dan Lanning's an interesting one to consider.
From Oregon,
somebody who's kind of from that tree. I don't know. I don't have any intel on that. Just sort of, maybe.
Right, speculating.
But Wilson, don't you expect this to happen quickly?
Going to have reverse. No idea. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they have to get a coach in here as soon as they can, but that's Greg Byrne, the AD, is going to want to make the right hire, not a quick hire after going with Nick Saban. And the other thing is it's going to have reverberations throughout the sport, because, whoever gets hired by Alabama, that position's going to have to get backfilled, and that's probably going to be a major job opening. And then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down the line, it's going to have to get positions backfilled, and there's going to be staff that get plucked from here and there as well as Alabama continues to fill it out because it is one of the marquee jobs in the sport.
Now, Wilson, I want your opinion. I respect your opinion. I was talking to Mike about this, because it's a new ball game. You look at, this 21st century, but how things have changed with name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. You can have unbelievable recruiting class. You got 5-star guys, but everybody wants to play. They might not earn that right to play, so I'm leaving. So I don't know if you have. I'm just saying, over the next decade, I don't think it's going to be one team that would dominate. The closest would maybe be University of Georgia because now you got the expanded playoffs. I think if they win the postseason with 12 teams, they could have definitely made a statement. But we all know what occurred. But right now, I'm thinking it might give a lot more other teams opportunity because you can't keep everybody even though you have a great recruiting class.
It's absolutely going to further create parity. I mean, that was already coming with Alabama. Hadn't been replaced at the top of the sport, but other teams have certainly risen up and been much more competitive over the last few years. And now, like you said, expanded college football playoff, expanded SEC. It was already always hard to win a national championship in football. I mean, in any sport, but football brings its own, challenges with how physical it is. And you're going to end up being now playing more games in an expanded college football playoff, more chances to get tripped up on your way to a national title. It's going to be incredibly difficult to put together a dynasty like Alabama has for all the reasons, like you said, in terms of roster management, but also just in terms of getting through the schedule and getting through the playoff unscathed is going to be incredibly difficult. And so, have a hard time seeing what Nick Saban already did in this era of college football was unprecedented. And now in a new era that we're going into, it's even harder to imagine somebody like that replicating what he was able to accomplish at Alabama. Never say never, but it would be an incredibly difficult task.
Wilson, another time, another era, but it reminds me a little bit of John Wooden walking away from UCLA basketball in the 70s, where they were dominant. They were as dominant as what Saban was at Alabama in football. And then what happened to college basketball after? I mean, it was like 52 pickup. I mean, well, everybody had their shot.
Now, Wilson, like Mike's saying, I'm going to enlighten you because that was before you were born.
Yeah, it was
Wilson.
A little bit before you were born.
But let me tell you.
We were just kids.
But I remember I was in junior high, and you take it for granted, like the John Wooden. And you look what he did at UCLA. And they remember freshmen couldn't play. They had a guy named Lou Alcindor. All of a sudden, freshmen can't play with the varsity. UCLA wins a national championship with Gail Goodrich and all. Then they played a freshman team and they lose by 12 points. So the only ones that beat the national champs was their own freshman team.
The freshman team.
Yeah. I'm like saying, you talk about. So I think that's kind of what Saban has done.
As to college, is, and, but it's a different
century.
World
right.
of leaving. But I think there are some comparisons there. The dominance of Wooden and UCLA in the 60s and early 70s.
Like 70-some games in a row.
And then all of a sudden now, everybody had a shot. And I think you're going to see that more and more in college football.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you will. And, you know, we're talking about here in LSU country. LSU's got an opening right now. With Saban leaving Alabama. They've got a chance here, and a good one if they can continue to head in the right direction to try to get themselves into the mix for another national championship.
Thank you, Wilson. Appreciate it. Great job you did today, and we appreciate your time. And, man, always great insights, buddy.
All right, Wilson.
Thanks for having me, y'all. Have a good one.
All righty. Wilson Alexander, who covers the LSU Fighting Tigers for The Advocate and broke that story about Bo Davis leaving Texas to come to LSU.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.